Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.
Welcome back, and joining us now is Zoe Smith. She has set up a website, thrillkillmedicalcult.com. You can also find her on Substack. The name of the Substack is Zoe, that's Z-O-W-E, .substack.com. And we want to talk to her about being a whistleblower and the things that she saw during the pandemic lockdown. Zoe worked as a medical coder for over a decade. Tell us a little bit about that. What was that involved with? Was that for insurance purposes, identifying the procedures and putting the right code on it?
Hi, so. Thanks for the invite. Thanks for being here. So a medical coder, a lot of people don't even know that it exists because you don't really see it as a patient. But everything that happens to you in a hospital, clinic, x-ray, lab, whatever, has to have a diagnosis and procedure assigned, and that's how your doctor gets paid. So the coder is the one who reviews that documentation, assigns the right diagnosis code, assigns the right procedure code, and that's what gets put on the bill and that your insurance or Medicare uses to pay your doctor or the lab or the hospital for their services.
Yes.
So it was really boring until COVID happened. And then,
you had a bird's eye view of what was going on. I was just telling you off air, I said the aha moment for me was the AHA, the American Hospital Association, and I believe it was August of 2020. I've talked about this many times. They got very upset because they said to CMS, who was paying them, they said, "You told us that we didn't have to have a PCR documentation for this. You said that you didn't have enough of them, and you said they didn't work. And you said we just point at somebody to a clinical diagnosis, and you would give us a 20% bonus on everything that we did to the people, as well as the upfront cash bonus of $13,000. And now you want to have this this new requirement. You know, that's not fair." So they were complaining because they weren't getting paid, and it kind of exposed the whole thing, except nobody would cover that. It was amazing to me how there was dead silence everywhere about that. I mean, you incentivize people to that degree, and I would always say to people, look, the money is the issue. You know, the declaration of the emergency by Trump unleashed the money, and then they put out these rules through CMS and paid these people to kill, is really what was happening.
Absolutely.
And that's what you saw as well, right?
Yeah, that's they did. I don't know if you're familiar with the vaxxed bus, but Children's Health Defense, they sent out a third one. So they've done a part one, part two, and now part three. The part three is called Authorized to Kill for that reason, because the CARES Act really did, it incentivized a behavior change in hospitals and with physicians and how they were able to practice medicine. It set everything on its head, and it incentivized everything. What you're talking about, what the AHA said about you didn't even need a PCR test result to get that COVID diagnosis is absolutely correct. And that was one of the things that I noticed in the Pandora's box of things that changed right in at when they declared 2 weeks to flatten the curve in March of 2020. They changed all the coding rules as well. So they April 1st, 2020 is when the COVID-19 diagnosis went into effect. And we were actually told to commit fraud before that time because we didn't have a code to reflect COVID-19, and we needed to track that so much. And, of course, everyone had to get the PCR test in order to get the diagnosis. But then there was this official coding guideline, which is what we use as coders. It's like our Bible. It tells us what's correct, what's fraud, and it's essentially, it lays out the rules. And in those rules, there's a part that says, in order to be diagnosed with COVID-19, all your physician needs to do is write down in their medical opinion that they think that you have COVID-19. They didn't need to do an exam. Mm-hmm. They didn't need to have a PCR test result. And it says right in that official guideline, this is an exception to Section 2H inpatient coding guidelines, which says for every other diagnosis, they have to do an exam and they have to have some sort of clinical documentation, usually some sort of lab work or diagnostics to prove their working diagnosis. Mm-hmm. So COVID was an exception for that. And that was one of the really big red flags that came up for me. And of course, I noticed in my position, not only is everyone getting this PCR test when we come in, they're not all sick. But then they get this COVID-19 diagnosis. And the part that most people, that still a lot of people aren't familiar with, is when they did the 2 weeks to flatten the curve and they locked down everybody, they actually kicked people out of the ICU early.
Yeah.
And they shut down other wings of the hospital. They went down to a skeleton crew. So they consolidated wings within the hospital. So the ER and the ICU stayed open, mm-hmm. but the rest of the hospital was shut down. We were getting furloughed and laid off and hiring freezes and no raises, no bonuses during the time when the media was saying, these healthcare heroes are showing up to fight the onslaught of COVID-19 patients. Well, it was an onslaught of false positive tests, but it wasn't an onslaught of a whole bunch of patients. We were getting furloughed. So the hospital really, really needed that money because they were bankrupted right before those incentives came out. So they really needed those incentives.
Yeah.
So they were absolutely excited to label someone as COVID-19 and get that 20% diagnosis and then hook them up to the ventilator, which they got another bonus for.
Oh, yeah.
And then the remdesivir, which they were giving out like candy during this entire time, the bonus really didn't go into effect until August of 2020, but they were using it from about April all the way through. And mm-hmm. I noticed how the protocols were killing people. And mm-hmm. doctors would just say, oh, this is a progression of COVID-19. And to this day, a lot of people will say, I had a family member that died of COVID. They went to the hospital because they had COVID and they died of COVID. But I asked them, did they really die of COVID or did they die of the protocol? Were they not that sick until they got there and then they circled the drain? Because in my experience, most of the patients within sometimes a few days to sometimes it took up to a month, but those protocols were killing people, shutting down their organs, mm-hmm. and then they would die. And that wasn't normal to have that happen to a pneumonia patient. Normally they'd be there 3 days. We pump them full of antibiotics, which we weren't using for COVID-19, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. then they would go home. Mm-hmm. So this was totally backwards. And then I started to notice all the incentives, because even as a coder, they have all these checks and balances in the electronic medical record system. And it counts against you if you miss something. So like if I missed someone for COVID-19, I would get a notice about it. Like, oh, this is going to count against your score and might not get a raise this year because you weren't a good coder. And they were watching that for remdesivir because the bonuses were so much. On the bill, every single remdesivir infusion mm-hmm. was $4,000. Mm. Give or take a little bit throughout the country because it's weighted based on like where you live. So it'd be more expensive in New York or California. But around $4,000
wow.
per dose
wow.
is how much they were getting.
Yeah, the ventilators. I interviewed a woman who was a nurse. She wrote a book called Pandemic Nurse, and she was in Florida. And she said, I wasn't seeing the kind of narrative that they were talking about with the pandemic, and everybody was saying it was all happening up in New York. So she left and went to New York to help and sat around for a couple of days after she told them she was there before they brought her in. When they finally did bring her in, she's like, what's going on? They're not busy either. When they brought her in, physician walked around, showed the people on the ventilators, and he said, about 90% of these people are going to die. And she said it was horrible. They were just killing people. And of course, when you look at it, if you get a $13,000 bonus for pointing at somebody and saying they got COVID, they may not even be sick, as you pointed out. Then if you put them on a ventilator, you get $39,000 already. Right there, you got $52,000 for a machine that costs you $50,000, and then they will pay you 20% on the charges that you got for them to use it. until you kill them with that ventilator. And again, pulmonologists were looking at this and come back and said, this never made any sense. We never did it like this. You're pointing out they give people antibiotics and other things like that. So we would never put people on a ventilator, you know, for pneumonia or things like that.
Exactly.
All of it was so incredibly corrupt and counterintuitive, and they turned the hospitals into killing machines for money. And everybody was willing to do that. I mean, if you got somebody that's there, even if it wasn't an economic emergency that had been created partially by the government, you know, if you were to tell somebody, you point to that person and say they've got this condition, I'll give you $13,000. We know how human nature works, and we know how the corporate hospitals work. I mean, the incentives to do that are going to be huge, just like the disincentives to report somebody when they've had a reaction to the vaccines are going to be huge as well. Were you still there when they started the vaccination program, or had you left? Because you say that you left when they made the vaccine mandatory. Did you see it happening before that?
I started to wake up during really when they started declaring 2 weeks to flatten the curve, and I started seeing people wearing masks in public. I knew this was not a pandemic, and there was some kind of psychological operation going on. Because I had worked in the hospital for the swine flu scare, and it wasn't a thing in the hospital. Like, it was just regular flu. I've even talked to people that were on the front lines, like ER doctors and nurses, and they said, some of them even said that they got it and it wasn't that big of a deal. So when they declared COVID, I was really suspicious. This is just going to be another vaccination campaign, because they already had mandates for the flu shot for healthcare workers for like a decade before that. And I had been doing the exemption every year. And the reason I did that is because the first year that they made healthcare workers get the flu shot, everybody was getting the flu. And so that was the year that we came up with the, it was just a rumor within the university lab where I worked, but everybody was saying it, that you get the flu from the flu shot. So ever since then, I just didn't want to do it. So during that whole year of Operation Warp Speed, the only thing that's going to get us back to normal is this vaccine. I thought, this, if the flu shot never worked, the chances that the COVID shot is going to work is slim to nil. And the amount of pressure for this one compared to the flu shot is astronomical. So there's something to it. So that made me actually not just look at the COVID shot, but look at all the other vaccines. And what I learned was they don't teach coders or doctors or nurses anything about vaccine side effects or adverse effects, despite the fact that they have codes to assign for vaccine effects. But I would see patients come in with like Guillain-Barré before this, and the doctors would try very hard not to relate it to a vaccine. And there would be codes in there, like adverse effect of flu shot or adverse effect of whatever. And those are supposed to be like a safety signal code. Like, one of the reasons why the ICD-10 system, which is owned by the WHO, by the way, so every member state that is part of the WHO has to report these codes, and it's for statistical monitoring purposes. So this is how they monitor pandemics. This is how they monitor cancer, like how many cases of cancer there are throughout the world, or heart problems or pneumonia cases.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up, and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. you can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This is the system that they use. And it's also supposed to be used starting in clinical trials for devices and drugs to look for a safety signal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I thought with this COVID-19 vaccine, there should be a code for adverse effect of this shot. And it should be my job to assign it. So I did my due diligence and I looked into all the warnings and what could happen if people got the shot. And then I looked at what could happen if people got the other vaccines. And I started to realize that they had been varying all of the effects that people would get from vaccines and not assigning these adverse effect codes up until 2020. And then when the COVID-19 vaccine came out, there was no code to report it. So it should have been my job to collect that danger signal. And I even went on a podcast called Deborah Gets Red Pill. It was just a radio show in early 2021, right after I quit my job.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, the COVID-19 vaccine is more dangerous than all of the other vaccines combined.
Mm-hmm.
And that was with my, that was just an observation, mm-hmm. but it was 10 years of medical coding experience and then learning what I learned about vaccine side effects and all the cases that I saw of children in the ER constantly having eczema or rashes or even anaphylactic responses. And then I look at the record and they just got a vaccine, but the doctor's not connecting the two.
Mm-hmm.
So when COVID-19 came out, people were having strokes and encephalitis and blood clots like I've never seen before. Myocarditis, they were getting COVID-19 immediately after getting the shot, like the same day or the next day, and then being hospitalized. There are people with paralytic problems, seizure disorders, blood disorders, where they couldn't even figure out what was going on because the patient was clotting and bleeding at the same time, and they didn't even know how to treat it.
Wow.
Crazy stuff started happening just in the first 4 months of the vaccine rollout. So it wasn't even available to the rest of the public yet.
Mm-hmm.
But by summer of 2021 is when they started saying, you at home, like this is the hospital leadership. They would have videos that they would send to all staff all the time, monitoring COVID. And they were really, really pushing us to get that shot. They were saying, we're not doing as good as the other hospitals who are getting incentivized for meeting their vaccination quota. Mm-hmm. And we weren't. So they were pointing to us people who worked from home, who never saw patients, who never walked into a hospital. You guys are spreading it around society, and we're going to have to fire you if you don't get your shots. So at that point, I couldn't take it anymore. I knew that my job had been to get them money for murdering patients, and I was having a crisis of conscience over that. And then before the vaccine went out, I decided I was going to be a spy at that point. And just see if the vaccine really was as bad as all the warnings said. And then it turned out to be far worse than I anticipated. And I didn't think that the chances would be very good that I would get a an exemption because mm-hmm. they changed the rules for getting mm-hmm. an exemption.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people got fired. And I didn't want to work for them anymore. I didn't want to continue helping them get money to murder people.
Good
so,
for you. Good for you. Yeah, you really did
have
a bird's eye view of this whole thing because you're seeing the diagnostic codes as well as the treatments that are there. And so you could get a good picture of what was actually coming on and seeing the trends that were there. That's very interesting,
yeah.
Your perspective. Yeah, I've got something, and I apologize because we can't feed this to you, so you can't hear this. I'll kind of talk about it and describe it, but I want the audience to hear what Lutnick, I call him Lucky Lutnick, what he said in terms about the money that can be made off of this kind of stuff. And he uses an example of the vaccines.
The United States government, the most powerful, the greatest customer, buys stuff. We walk in. We're going to buy, this is the example I like to use. We're going to buy 2 billion COVID vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
When we buy it, Pfizer and Moderna stocks are going to triple. They're going to triple. So then we say everyone's going to have this vaccine. If I were, after Jared Kushner negotiated the best deal he could, if Howard Lutnick walked in the room, Howard Lutnick would say, what do you think, 20% warrants?
Right.
20% warrants?
Right.
Right? What? So we'd make $50 billion. Off of who? Nobody. Right. We didn't take from anybody. We didn't do it. Okay. The shareholders of Pfizer, who we've just tripled them with our order.
Right.
Now, how many of my customers?
Yeah. Zoe, what he's saying, Zoe says, the U.S. government's the most powerful customer. So we're going to go in and we're going to buy $2 billion worth of these vaccines from Pfizer and Moderna. We're going to force people to take them. He goes, so I'm looking at this. I'm saying, well, I'm going to get some 20% warrants. I want some action of that. I know what's going to happen with all this. And he says, and who have we harmed with all this stuff? It's like the people who got the shot, obviously. But he doesn't even see that. He sees nothing but dollar signs. This is the guy, of course, that is now the Commerce Secretary for Trump. And he's the guy who's pushing through the stable coins and all the rest of this stuff. Makes you wonder what he is going to be doing to us with the stable coins and the resetting of the financial system. These are people who see nothing other than money, and they don't care what they have to do to other people in order to make money. It truly is amazing, the greed in the system and the corruption.
Right. Mm-hmm. It is so hard for me to wrap my brain around how many people they killed. It was a silent genocide that is still invisible.
Yeah.
But there's no family that I've talked to in the last 5 years that hasn't been touched by it in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Either someone they know is suffering from cancer or some horrible chronic condition after getting the shot, or they've lost somebody. Like I lost, my cousin who was 17 who suddenly just drove into a tree and they didn't do an autopsy or look into it. And there's countless other people out there like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was our family. And people are still just kind of burying their heads in the sand and wanting to go on like it didn't happen.
The amazing thing is
our system is still set up to where it could still happen again. Like we haven't even held those people accountable.
As a matter of fact, we put them back in office again. And so, that's why I look at it, and what astounds me the most is just how effective the control of information has been. That's why what you're doing is so important. You've got to get out there and tell people what happened. Because, as you point out, almost everybody I know as well, there's been somebody in their family, immediate or extended family, that's been harmed by this. But everybody thinks that this is a one-off. It didn't happen to everybody else. They don't realize that it happened, how broad this is and how extensive it is. And they think that they're alone. Just like they wanted us to think that we were alone if we saw what was happening. And we weren't going to participate in it. Well, you're the only one who thinks like that. And we're not. You know, there's a lot of people out there who saw what was happening and were onto this scam from the very beginning. And I had the help of a person who gave me a heads up about a year before this happened. He said, there's a lot of chatter about Dark Winter 2. And he goes, you know what Dark Winter 1 was? And I was like, yeah, I know about that. And so when I saw all of this, it was falling right in the pattern of all these germ games. The very first one was 2 months before 9/11. So I knew exactly what was happening with this. And also knew about the PCR test and what Carrie Mullis had said. Talk a little bit about what you saw with the PCR.
Right. So that was another part of the Pandora's box that changed right at the beginning of March 2020 when they declared 2 weeks to flatten the curve and change our whole lives upside down.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that before COVID, I worked in a university lab when I was in college, and we had what's called a rapid flu test. And it was something that it was a nose swab too, or it could be a saliva swab, but it wasn't something that went all the way up to your brain like the COVID PCR swab did. And even the instructions, like us in the lab as lab assistants, one of the number one things we did was coach people on how to collect specimens properly, because it was our job to like screen them, make sure they were gonna work for the test. And if they weren't in a correct format to accept for the test, then we'd have to tell the nurse or doctor, we need you to go recollect that specimen. So these rapid flu tests, they had to be done within 15 minutes, and it was basically a PCR test. It didn't have the same cycle threshold part, so it's kind of a predecessor to the COVID-19 PCR test. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't done on every patient that had a cold or flu symptom or a pneumonia at all. It was only done on patients that came in like with a recurrent pneumonia that they couldn't cure, mm-hmm. or a recurrent cold, and it would be done to try and figure out which types of medications this particular disease would respond to. So it was like a case-by-case basis. It wasn't just everybody that walked into the hospital. And so when COVID-19 came around and they said, you need to stick this all the way up into people's brains, no saliva, and it has to be on every single person. Because, I mean, it really flipped it at one point. It went from you can't get the PCR test, like, because they had a drive-through where you could go out into society at first, and you have to go to one of these PCR testing centers, and they'd say, you have to have symptoms. Sure. You can't get it unless you have symptoms. And then people were mad that they couldn't get the PCR test. And then, like, overnight, it flipped to now everybody has to get it for everything. You have to get it if you walk in the ER, even if you don't have COVID symptoms. And I thought, that was weird. We never did that before. That is not supposed to be a screening test. It's supposed to be a diagnostic test, because a screen is done when you don't have symptoms. Mm-hmm. It's trying to rule out if you're developing something. Mm-hmm. And they were telling us asymptomatic spread. Well, I could see in the hospital, there's no such thing as asymptomatic spread. This 6 feet thing is made up. Masks don't work. I knew that from the very beginning, because masks in the hospital had only been used for like collecting spittle over like a surgery case. It wasn't meant to like prevent germ spread. That was never part of our infection control.
Yeah.
So I knew there was something up with these PCR tests, and I kept looking at the results, and finally I find that it's done by PCR. And I recall my time at a university lab when we were just starting PCR testing, because this was early 2000s, and Mullis invented it like late 86 is when the NIH took it up and started using PCR.
Mm-hmm.
So it got into healthcare early 2000s, and all the techs, like my mom was a medical technologist, it was her job, she actually ran one of these labs, it was her job to, you know, run those tests, and they were all talking like this was like their new tech, they were a kid in a candy store excited about it, this mm-hmm. PCR thing, but mm-hmm. it was all genetic testing, it was genetic, it was done for cancer screening, which they thought was genetic, and it was done for women that would, like, they would call it genetic counseling. If you're a couple and you're a female and you go and you want to have genetic counseling, you can see if you have, like, a hereditary disease like Huntington's, and then mm-hmm. maybe decide if you want to continue with procreation or not. So it was genetic. Mm-hmm. So I thought, why all of a sudden are we testing for viruses with PCR? Well, while I wasn't looking, because for 10 years I was a medical coder, so I wasn't really looking at what was going on in the lab until COVID happened. Mm-hmm. So then I find it's by PCR, and I start looking at, well, there's obviously this problem with false positives. Even Elon Musk was saying, I got two tests and one.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino.
the social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Dead, one of them was negative, one of them was positive. And I could see the hospital was running over and over and over these PCR tests, waiting to get a positive result if they didn't get the right result. And I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. What is going on here? And fast forward to like after the PCR test evolved a little bit toward the end of 2020 into 2021, they had what's called a PCR multiplex assay. So it was four different viruses they were actually monitoring. Flu A, flu B, RSV, and COVID-19. And the only one that ever came up positive out of a whole year of running all four of these viruses was COVID. One flu, not one RSV. And they say we have a RSV pandemic now.
It's such an amazing thing. And, you know, we go back and we used to play the clips all the time of Mullis calling out Fauci because, you know, Fauci used the PCR test to claim that AIDS was caused by a virus. And that created a big back and forth between them. And Mullis said, well, I'm not going to get involved in that fight, but I'll tell you this, that you can't prove it using the PCR test. It can't be used as a diagnostic like that. And so it was very interesting because they also did not isolate the HIV, you know, the virus that supposedly caused AIDS either. And so this whole thing has been kind of a bluff. What it reminds me of, Zoe, is the polygraph tests. My wife used to be a district personnel manager for convenience stores, and what they would do if they would have massive shortages somewhere and they thought there was theft that was going on with the employees, they would call them in and polygraph them. And the polygraph did not work, but it only worked if people believed that it could tell them tell whether or not they were lying, and then they would tell the truth about it and make a confession, right? So it was simply a mind game that was being played on the people that were there. And that's what the PCR thing is. It really is a mind game, except that it's become something of a lie detector for the people who are administering it. We realize now that they are the liars who are putting this stuff out.
Right.
I just had in a comment, Lance put up, my producer, he said that video of Lutnick where he's talking about that reminds him of this scene out of The Big Short, which we just went back and watched again because of the AI bubble. And at one point, this guy gets up and he's talking, and one of the guys who's onto the whole scam says, why is he confessing? And the other guy says, he's not confessing. He's bragging. And that's basically what Lutnick was doing. He wasn't confessing about all this stuff. He was bragging about it. And how he continues to get away with this kind of stuff. It truly is amazing.
Yeah. Well, what's even more nefarious about the PCR test is, so the false positive narrative, that is only, it's about the cycle threshold, but you're correct. They didn't actually sequence SARS-CoV-2. So they never had a sequence. They have what's called a consensus sequence, which is an average that an AI came up with.
Yeah.
And that's what they used because they knew they would find this in a percentage of people. And then they could dial it in with the cycle threshold up or down. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the AIDS thing. They never isolated AIDS, and they used their antibody tests at first, which could be dialed up or down in the same way as the cycle threshold. And David Rasnick, PhD, who I've interviewed, can vouch for that. He's got all the science on his webpage to prove all of that. But what I was looking past the cycle threshold because I knew this test is dialed in for some reason. Like they can predict the results somehow. And I needed to know how they were manipulating the test. And so I looked a little bit further and I find a document from the CDC that says for every COVID test, every CLIA certified lab, which is all of them, they all have to be in order to build insurance or anything, have to be CLIA certified. Then they have to send a genetic sequence to one of two gene banks, either NCBI or GISAID gene banks. And it listed like eight different sequences. So they're saying, you know, the variants in the details. But if you look at some of these labs that were running PCR tests and making all the money off running these PCR tests, they could also take that same sample off that machine, put it on another machine, run a sequence. And they needed to in order to comply with the CDC's directive to send genetic sequences to these gene banks. And I interviewed David Rasnick, who is a chemistry professor who worked with Carrie Mullis and knew Carrie Mullis. I asked him directly, do you think that they were just clipping a tiny little section of the genetic code and then sending it to these gene banks? Or do you think they were getting the entire sequence? And he says, well, they're running a lab. They're busy. They're not really thinking about, you know, taking the time to clip out a sequence. So could they? Yes. Mm-hmm. But would they really do that? No. It'd be so much easier for them to just send the whole thing and then let the gene bank decide which part that they want to determine is the variant of concern.
Wow.
So they were, and you look at the different gene banks, there's one called DataVant, which is now a public-private partnership. You look at the Human Genome Project, which is now BGI Genetics, I think, in China, which is their biggest biotech company. Mm-hmm. And there's billions of dollars in collecting our DNA. And what they say they're using it for is to, and now we have Larry Ellison actually admitting it day two of the Trump administration, mm-hmm. that they're going to use AI, which is what they use to get the consensus sequence that they dial the PCR test in with.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to use AI to look at our blood and then make a drug or a therapeutic or a vaccine tailored to our individual genome. And now there's a massive industry of all these big tech oligarchs that are using AI to develop different vaccines or different therapeutics, biotech therapeutics tailored to the individual genome. So whether or not they're successful with this technology, there's a whole bunch of money invested in it. So I think PCR was actually a data mining operation,
yes,
as well as a money laundering operation.
That's interesting, yeah. And of course, if they want to make a bioweapon that is going to target certain groups of people, that makes it very easy to do that as well. You know, and when you look at the PCR, you know, Handy, who also has a Substack, and he's been a regular listener and commenter on the program, he worked in hospitals, and he said he was suspicious of these things, finally got a nurse to take one of these swabs right out of the package and run it through and got a positive test. Without swabbing anybody. So some of these,
yeah.
It was such garbage. I mean, either it's preloaded with something or the PCR test is just so off the charts with its magnification or whatever. You can find anything anywhere. It's Carrie Mullis.
Well, didn't the president of Tanzania, I think he did some PCR tests,
right,
on like a papaya and like a Coca-Cola and got positive,
right,
results too.
That's right. It's total nonsense and garbage. And I remember when they had the Cannes Film Festival, it was in the summer of 2020. And he had all these elitists who somehow they got there, I guess, on their private jets and didn't have to get screened too much. But anyway, they're there and they were complaining that they had to do spit tests. They said, that's disgusting. We got to spit in this thing and they got to test it and so forth. I said, yeah, so why don't they allow us to do a spit test, right? They got to ram that thing up your nose, but you don't get that. But the elites, the jet setters, the private jets, they get the spit test or whatever.
Oh my God, that's funny.
All this stuff was just
so ridiculous.
When I worked
in the university lab, there was something called sputum testing, which is exactly that. You basically hock a loogie into a cup. Mm-hmm. And like it was the most disgusting sample I ever had to deal with when I worked in the lab. And I make a joke in my book. We all were spared that they didn't make that the test that we had to do. But you're telling me that's what the elites do.
Yeah, I think that's preferable to having that thing ramrodded up your nose, I guess. I didn't have that done to me. So I went through the whole thing without having a PCR test. Sorry, go ahead.
Me neither. That was another reason why I walked out, because if I were to stay in the hospital stay working for them and get the exemption, then I was going to have to take a PCR test every week. Mm. And I didn't want to have to take a PCR test. I was pretty sure they were going to be collecting our DNA with it, or sensing if we're vaccinated or not, or somehow tying that in with the vaccine passport. I wasn't entirely sure how it's going to work, but I knew that it wasn't what they were telling us, and I wasn't about to play along.
Yeah.
So that was another reason why I couldn't.
And of course, there were the other things too, where some people did some, you know, zoomed in on the microscope looking at the tip of the swab and said, look at this, you know, here's one of the cotton swab and here's this PCR thing. It's got all these spikes on it. And if I run it across, some of these things, those spikes stick and stay. So are they actually implanting something into you? You know,
I did some research on it, and I found there were two chemicals on the tip of the swab, one of them was ethylene oxide, and that alone can, like, they were putting it, you know, way up in your mm-hmm. nose, where your pineal gland is your third eye, mm-hmm. which is right mm-hmm. at the top. Mm-hmm. So putting that chemical right there is known to cause cancer.
Wow.
And so the more you do it, the more carcinogenic it's going to be. And then it also has a chemical property where it will basically block and calcify your pineal gland. So it like closes your third eye. And it's also a way that your brain can sense light. It's how your body basically like synchronizes hormones throughout your whole body. So it can mm-hmm. like change your whole endocrine system if you set off if you close or calcify your pineal gland. So all sorts of things could happen just with that one chemical. But I think there was also graphene oxide on there. There was mm-hmm. different schools that said they had been given these special masks even that had graphene in them, similar, mm-hmm. like the exact same phenomenon about like, the fibers that actually move and respond to magnetics. Mm-hmm. Well, graphene oxide has a magnetic property to it. That's why they wanted to use it. Mm-hmm. But it's also supposed to be clean. So they were saying, like, we're using this to make it antibacterial because it has antibacterial properties. but both the swabs and some of the masks had graphene fibers in them that could maybe do that. And
so if they can't inject the graphene,
I have no idea what that would do if you shove it up your nose over and over and over.
So if they can't inject the graphene into you, they can get it in there another way. And, of course, I've mentioned this many times, too. There's a couple of different batches, each of them over a million of these shots in Japan. And they noticed that they were getting black particulates. I don't know if it happened because they didn't keep them at the super cold temperatures or whatever. But they noticed black participants and these particulates, and they said they reacted with magnets. So what is that? But they would. End of story. No more talking about that. And the Japanese government threw away a couple million of these vaccines because of that type of thing. But yeah, there's just so many issues there, and people have been lied to so thoroughly about all this stuff. This is why it's not a dead issue. It is still alive, and they're going to try to do all this stuff again. And since it worked so well, they will use the same tactics again. That's why it's very important to talk about these different tactics. And that's
what
you're
using.
Yes.
Right. They're moving forward with the mRNA. I mean, they're not only putting it in our food, like we've probably heard.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel. All in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Sure, your audience has heard about the bird flu and how they're doing the self-amplifying bird flu injections for poultry, mm-hmm. and they're trying to get it in cattle, and they've had mRNA shots in pork, So almost all the pork is tainted now since like 2018. Mm-hmm. Now they're rolling it out for pets. So now when you go in, you try it and you have to get your annual rabies shot for your pets. Now that's going to be mRNA. They're moving over to the mRNA platform for all the vaccines.
Yes.
So normies that who might be a little like cautious about COVID-19 because they've heard the rumors by now, most of them, but they haven't heard that now your RSV, your flu, and a lot of even like the childhood vaccines are moving over to this mRNA platform where they get to bypass clinical trials.
Mm-hmm.
So it still hasn't been, this is an experiment that is now being rolled out to all our vaccines.
Sure.
Under the guise of this is totally fine, this is normal science, we've totally tested this, but it's absolutely not. I mean, they've had
that's right. People need to understand
for like 3 years.
Yeah.
For the first one, we just barely passed the first part of monitoring.
That's right. And people need to understand that the guy who boasted about being the father of the vaccine, first things he did, as you pointed out, Stargate thing with Larry Ellison, where he's talking about, well, we're going to use AI to custom design this for your genetics, and then we will deliver it with an mRNA platform. And the person that they put in as they chose to put in at the head of the CDC was Susan Monterez. And that had been what she was working on with BARDA and with ARPA-H and these dark bioweapon companies that are part of the government and the military industrial complex and the bioweapon platforms and things like that. That's what so there's all these different threads that tie this throughout the Trump administration, pushing mRNA for all these various things. And of course then Brooke Rollins, who's the agricultural secretary, she decides on her own initiative that she's going to end this mass culling of chickens by authorizing the mRNA bird flu for chickens, and then they authorize it for other livestock as well. It is the signals are all there that this is all still going on, that Trump is right at the epicenter of all this mRNA stuff. And I guess what we could call now the mRNAi, as in AI, artificial intelligence. It's all connected together, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's a giant web, and it is going to be tied to our behavior scores and if we comply, how much we comply with it.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at, you know, who's monitoring the DNA, where they have to report the PCR results to, who's hiding the adverse effects of the vaccine, putting that all together and looking at, where are we reporting all of these PCR results, and where are we reporting the COVID-19 case numbers? And now we actually have a code to report the COVID-19 adverse effects, but it's still not being used.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at that and trying to figure out where the code was and why we're not able to report it still, I happen to find that every agency involved in monitoring COVID-19 cases and vaccination tracking specifically, because there's so many vaccine registries, it blows your mind. It's tied to national security.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a matter of national security if you participate in this scheme or
mm-hmm.
not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is all DARPA, and it's all the military and the intelligence agencies and all of the Dark Winter stuff. They had, you know, Fauci and the former head of the CIA was playing the role of the president during the first germ game of Dark Winter. I mean, it's all the usual suspects that are involved in all this stuff. It really is a bioweapon that is really targeted to the population. And it truly is amazing.
I think they're even going to try and do more data mining, like go even further than PCR testing with the wearables rollout that we're getting now.
Mm-hmm.
Because the information, like, when I learned that our COVID-19 case numbers, the PCR test is actually getting reported to foreign countries, and our DNA is being data mined, and they're able to tell if we've had a vaccine or not, what's our ethnicity, where we are, how much money we make. Like, they're layering all of this information. And during Operation Warp Speed, they had a program called Tiberius, which was used in hospitals There's different Palantir programs that are used in hospitals to monitor and manage the hospital down to like staffing. There was even a program that was part of Operation Warp Speed called HHS Protect. And the hospitals had to report how many ventilators were in use, how many patients were there. I don't know why my camera just stopped. That was weird.
Well, I still have audio.
It literally just, I didn't do anything.
You're back. You're back.
Stopped.
That's good. You're back.
So they had this program that hospitals had to report how many ventilators, how many patients are in the ICU, how much remdesivir we were using, what's our census report, like all kinds of information that even the hospital didn't want to have to report in addition to all the other data mining we were doing. Mm-hmm. And that program was a Palantir program, called Tiberius, which it's used in Gaza, and that's the one that they use to assign risk scores. Well, they used that here already in America during Operation Warp Speed to figure out if you were vaccinated or not, to target different ethnic groups for vaccines, and then to figure out where the countermeasures, as in where did the ventilators need to go? Where did the remdesivir need to go? Mm-hmm. So they've already had these programs in place that are tied into our medical records. And then to hear Larry Ellison say, we're going to use your medical records and your DNA, your personal data, to design stuff directly to you. And then in addition, they say, we're going to put wearables on you. They're going to monitor your body at all times for the purposes of national security. And I don't know how that doesn't send shivers down the spine of every single citizen in this country.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we look at their big data thing. That, you know, they have to have total information awareness. Remember how everybody was creeped out about that? And yet, that is what this really is, the implementation of this. The big data is looking at everything that you're doing, not just online, but they've got to get it out of cyberspace into physical space with all these other aspects of it. And companies like Palantir, they have been focused on geospatial intelligence and data mining and making all these, drawing all these conclusions about people's politics or religion and so forth, based just on even geospatial intelligence. When they get to additional factors like this, they know everything about you. And we're not allowed to know anything about what they do or the results. That's why it really is, at its essence, it is an information war. Because, you know, it is all the information is flowing in one direction, and they have an insatiable appetite to know everything about everybody. It is part and parcel of their control, this total knowledge about everyone and everything. And now AI, and especially companies like Palantir, have given them the ability to go through and collate this massive amount of data that they've been collecting for some time. Now they can make sense of it, because it was so much information they've been collecting on people, they couldn't sort through it with humans. And so now they've got the AI that can sort through this. That is what's so concerning about all of this. And
it really is, because when you go on social media and you're fed an algorithm of like which post do you get to see today, that's going to be how our whole lives are run.
Yes.
And I don't know how many people I've known complain about their algorithm. Oh, it's just it's triggering me today, or I don't know why my algorithm's all screwed up and it's showing me blah blah. Well, imagine if that same algorithm is now your government gets to make decisions about if you're a good person or not, and if you get to go out today, or if you get to eat today, or if you get to use your money today.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's all about total control. And, of course, that guy, Lucky Lutnick, Howard Lutnick, who was bragging about how much money he could make, knowing that the government was going to just flood cash into these pharmaceutical companies. Now I can go in and I can make money off of that, right? So he's got this insider information. He's the guy that's going to be doing the new public-private version of a CBDC. And once they know all your financial transactions, all the rest, any part of this puzzle would give them pretty much total control over your life. But they've got so many different facets where they are monitoring and collating information about you that it truly is just overwhelming to even try to think about it. But again, it's the ignorance and the darkness that they have fooled everybody with. That's why it's so important what you're doing. And again, the site is thrillkillmedicalcult.com, and you're also on Substack. And people find that at zowe.substack.com. And it's very important for people to use this information, try to wake people up as to what's going on. They've not only hidden stuff from people, but they have, in terms of inoculation, the one thing they've inoculated you against is the truth. And they've inoculated you against questioning what they tell people. And that's why you need to try to wake people up with sites like Zoe's as well. So is there anything else that you would like to hit?
If anyone is interested, I'm going to be doing a memorial for the people that we've lost to hospital protocols and vaccine injured, including women who may have had a stillbirth or a miscarriage due to the shot.
Oh, yeah.
So if you go to my website, there's a page called Vigil. And if you'd like to submit a name of a loved one, you don't have to tell us anything more. Just the name of a loved one. You could even just put, you know, baby boy or baby girl if you like. And we're going to be lighting a candle in remembrance of your loved ones. So if you like, please go and submit a name and we will honor your loss.
It's important. We cannot forget what they've done to us, and we cannot forget those that they have killed. That's absolutely vital. Thank you so much for what you do. Again, Zoe Smith, her website is thrillkillmedicalcult.com, and you can find her on Substack at zoe.substack.com, and she spells Zoe, Z-O-W-E. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll take a quick break, folks, and we will be right back. Stay with us.
Listening to the David Knight Show.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Hear news now at APSRadioNews.com or get the APS Radio app and never miss another story.
Well, let's take a look at the AI bubble. And, of course, it's kind of interesting. SoftBank, you know, we were just talking about Stargate Project with Larry Ellison, and the bank that came in was this Japanese bank called SoftBank. They're very much invested in technology issues. And that was what Trump kicked off his second administration with. Well, SoftBank dumped every single share of NVIDIA, and that had an effect on the entire market, not just on NVIDIA stock. And remember, we talked about Michael Burry, the guy behind who sussed out Big Short, who sussed out what was going on with the market, real estate market fraud and bubble. And he focused on shorting NVIDIA as well as Palantir. And so we've had a lot of big players and people who are very professional, very savvy, who are calling bubble. And so NVIDIA went down by 1.5% after SoftBank sold all of their shares. And then, of course, Palantir is also going down. Palantir was really the biggest bet that Michael Burry of The Big Short put on. It was actually when he did The Big Short of over $1 billion, which is like 80% of his company or his fund or whatever. So 84% of that short was Palantir, and 14% or 16% was the NVIDIA. And somebody put this up, inverse Cramer. So look at Cramer as being a contraindicator of what they should invest in. It said Jim Cramer remains undefeated. And so what they have there is a tweet that he put out as recently as the 29th of October. And he was saying, I'm taking my price target for Palantir from 200 to 250! Exclamation mark. Well, it went from 200 when he said that down to now about maybe 165 or 170. As I said, he remains undefeated, as always being the counter indicator of where things should go. And you know, when I look at all of this hype about AI robots that we got from Elon Musk last week, and so many others, you know, the AI hype, the robotic hype and everything, this is Russia and their robot that they wanted to demonstrate. Again, we always hear about Russian bots, right? They're talking about AI that is putting out narratives on social media. But here's a literal Russian bot. And people's comments about this, it looks like they used a drunk to teach its robot how to walk. See how it's walking there. And watch what happens. It takes another couple of steps. And just like a drunk, it falls down on the side. Watch this. It's coming. It's staggering. That goes down. So let's hope that that is a metaphor for robotics and for AI. Again, as I said last week, a lot of people are looking at this and they said, well, you know, what? How does this end? Well, there's only two or three combinations of this that could go. Either the AI hype and the bubble bursts and takes down the economy big time, or global economy big time, or it is successful and it takes everybody's jobs. And I said, well, there's a third alternative, that it is sustained by the governments who use it to control us. And I think that is true of both AI and robotics. I think that the best use case for all this stuff is tyranny and totalitarianism. Well, SoftBank dumped their entire NVIDIA stake, but they're not getting out of AI completely. So it's not a complete pushback against AI. They just decided that they would move from NVIDIA to some other platforms that are still involved in AI. And they had just under $6 billion stake in NVIDIA. And the guy who is the head of SoftBank, his name is Gotu. I guess he's the Gotu guy. If you want some tech capital. I can't say if we're in an AI bubble or not, said Gotu. Adding that the sale was for capital and can be utilized for our financing. So he's not going to say that we're in an AI bubble, because he's got some other irons in the fire and he doesn't want to tank this thing.
I can neither confirm nor deny that we are in an AI bubble.
Yeah, but a lot of people have been confirming that. As a matter of fact, Zero Hedge pointed out, said, well, we've had four recent articles that are really must-read. Here's the headlines. The AI bubble watch-out metric has just snapped. AI is now a debt bubble, too, quietly surpassing all banks to become the largest sector in the market. And Sam Altman denying OpenAI needs a government bailout. He just wants massive government subsidies. So, yeah, we do the subsidy so we don't have to do the bailout. So it had an effect, of course, on NVIDIA, but also on a lot of different stocks. The futures slid down as AI jitters return. And yet, no matter how many people come out, no matter how many people who are large and connected come out against this, you still have the bubble continues to inflate. And another company was involved in that as well, CoreWeave. They rent out access to the AI chips, and they had some interesting issues there and setbacks as well. But this article from Free Thought Project is very timely. They said it is time to pay attention. Europe has just eviscerated monetary privacy, and it's going to be coming here to the United States next. They're basically starting down the path of banning all cash, state-run digital money. It's a law that is passed, and it goes live in only 400 days. And so they're going to make it criminal to pay cash for anything over 10,000 euros, but of course that level is going to continue to come down. That's why you need to get into physical gold and silver. You got to get out of this system, and that's what they're talking about. They have a lot of different alternatives in this Free Thought Project article. One thing they don't mention, strangely enough, is physical gold and silver. I think that is the simplest, easiest, most direct thing to essentially short the totalitarianism. That's what you need to be doing. Don't short the market. Short the totalitarianism. Go to DavidKnight.gold. That'll take you to Tony Arterburn's Wise Wolf Gold. Have a good day. Thank you for joining us.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Oh, 5 a.m. run? Really? All right.
If running shoes could talk, they'd have a lot to say.
Puddle, puddle, puddle! Oh, why would you aim for it? Oh, a double knot. Someone's feeling fast today. Instead of a marathon, maybe a beer run next time.
If shoes could talk, they'd also tell you to shop Academy Sports and Outdoors for top running brands like Nike, Brooks, Asics, and Adidas. Academy. Fun can't lose.